Welcome back to Bridget Unfiltered, where nothing is off limits, secrets are the starting point, and your assumptions are about to get flipped upside down. I'm your host, Bridget, and today we're going to dive into something a little bit messy that could read like a bad romance novel, but instead, it's showing up in our DMs. It's our dreams and our heartbreaks and overall nightmares. As you read before you clicked the play button, the episode title is indeed Why Men Chase Chaos But Call It Chemistry. Yep, we're getting into why the wild ones feel addictive, why the instability just feels magnetic, and what the heck is going on in our brains that made us swear it was love. So grab your drink, grab your notepad, maybe your ex's phone number. Just kidding, we don't do that around here. And let's go. First of all, chaos. What do I mean by chaos? I don't mean just a little bit of conflict or that natural passion caused by Latina women such as myself, which, by the way, we will definitely dive into my Latin roots on future episode. But I mean unpredictability, those mood swings, the pulling away, then pulling you back in, the ghosting, the hot and cold energy, the overall emotional exhaustion. It's that sort of roller coaster where one day you feel like they actually like you, and the next you're questioning your own damn insanity, or sanity if you have it. People often confuse chaos with chemistry because both feel really intense, right? And often right in your gut, it's that thing that just makes you go, wow, this is crazy. This is crazy love. But the thing is that chemistry doesn't require such big dramatics. You know I love to get nerdy around here. So studies around chaotic relationships, or quote, relationship churning, which is on again and off again cycles. Now, the dirty thoughts in me went a little bit more to the left than I care to admit when I read relationship churning, but I digress. It indicates that they're linked to more psychological distress, anxiety, and uncertainty. In fact, people in these type of churning on and off behavioral relationships often report higher instability, more broken trust, and overall emotional exhaustion. And another nugget, the concept of chaos theory has even been applied metaphorically to romantic relationships. Quote, relationships are nonlinear. They can shift states suddenly. Small triggers cause big relational changes. So when your heart is riding the firework train, it can feel like relationship in motion, end quote. But those fireworks can burn you. Let me tell you a quick story. Years ago, I was seeing someone. Let's call him Jay. He was funny, unpredictable, mysterious, and in a good way. We'd have nights where we would talk for like 4 to 6 hours. No joke. And I would feel so deeply connected. And then the next day, he'd poof, vanish. No reply. For days. Then he would reappear with a dramatic apology. Oh, you know, I thought that I was able to get my thoughts together. A duck fell in front of my car and I had to dodge it and I fell in a ditch. Or something along the lines like, oh my God, I had such a great time that I had to kind of take a moment and digest it all because it was just so much. It was so powerful. It was so intense. All right. Okay, my guy. So I thought, wow, this guy really likes me. This is some soap opera love. And if you know anything about us Latin women, we love our soap operas. And then a couple of days later, I texted him something silly, no reply. In fact, crickets. Well, about 48 hours later, he called at 2 a.m. crying about his past. He was crying about his internal demons, how I was the only one who understood him. I sat there, half asleep, mind you, listening, but feeling my heart just loving him so much more for sharing. Then, tale as old as time, the next day, ignored me again. Listen, I convinced myself that this push-pull was absolutely normal. It had to be, right? Until I realized that I was addicted. I was riding this emotional roller coaster like it was the last day at the damn county fair, over and over and over again. Now, for a female like myself coming from a delusional world such as Los Angeles with the Hollywood nightlife and the complete delusion of, you know, pretending to be the sexiest woman in the world due to my career that had given me a false sense of grandeur and validation, it's no wonder I stayed at the fair for as long as I did. I was the chaos. I was essentially the enabler for him to think this was okay, and for me to think this was totally natural. My life was such a make-believe world to begin with. None of it was real. And he just wanted to date the experience, not the real person. My chaos was his home. But eventually, and thankfully, I hit a wall. I hit a wall where my self-worth was just grasping at the straws, and I had to choose. Ride the chaos till I broke, or walk towards something more. That turning point taught me something, that intensity isn't love. Consistency, respect, and emotional safety are the foundations. And I'll never forget that 2 a.m. call. But I also don't ever want to go through that again. And the more I've learned about myself, and in turn recently have found a deeper desire of a bigger spiritual control over my life, including relationships, the more evident it is that life is indeed not a soap opera, and living away from LA has provided a bigger picture, I'm not going to lie. But truly, wisdom and getting older definitely provides that. And there is no bigger thrill than to realize that, wow, I've actually learned something from my early 20s and from my 20s, when you can look back and go, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to get a ticket to that circus. And I am going to wait online for that, but only because it's elephant ear. And if you know about circuses and fairs, love me some elephant ear, some funnel cake too. Okay, so why do men or female, but we're going to lean into male experience mostly, repeatedly do choose a chaos? Here are some common reasons I have seen and learned the many years of shaking hands with my mostly male fan base. And you'll probably have your friends nodding that they agree as well if you're listening with them. If someone grew up in a home with unpredictability, emotional chaos that ended up becoming comfort, their brain says, this is what feels like love because I learned love that way. Some research says that men drawn to chaotic partners often had chaotic maternal dynamics. And a common phrase that I've heard is Mr. Captain Save-A-Ho, the guy that tends to attract the female that looks to want to be saved, financially mostly. So he goes, let me save her. I'll change her. I'm the hero. And men who can problem solve in business or life often try to apply that to people. They believe their consistency or logic that has made them so successful in business can, quote, tame the chaos. But they often tend to learn the hardware that people don't heal because someone else expects them to. It's on them. And there is nothing that a Captain Save-A-Ho can do. And some men are just wired for it, for the excitement of it. The mundane is death to them. So they stay in relationships that no better than to be in, but they're in it because it's entertaining. They're in it because the unpredictability is the thrill. They get a ticket to that state fair the day it's announced. And then for some, chaos gives them something external to focus on. Rather than dig into their own emotional wounds or commitment fears, they lean into the drama. You get jealous, you get betrayed, you get distracted. And you don't have time to look into your own self and take that emotional audit that is really important for a lot of us. And I'll tell you what, this was it for me. All those years in the industry was as if time stood still. I was so deep in porn land, I didn't have time to assess what I was feeling half the time because I had to be on set the next day. Now, I don't use that as an excuse at all, but now that I am out of it looking in, the damage I caused to my own psyche is no wonder relationships went to shit. I went on dates with those who didn't deserve my energy, essentially, but I wasn't providing any sort of positive energy to begin with. And as they say, you know, looking back is 2020 hindsight, right? 2020 hindsight or 2020 vision? You know what I mean. You know what I mean? And the biggest one, in my opinion, why we repeatedly choose chaos is because we just mistake passion for stability. Intense fights, making up, tears, big gestures, it feels more romantic than the quiet nights of cooking at home, cleaning the house, arguing about where you're going for the holidays, which mother-in-law you don't want to be with, his parents, your parents. After my research, it's an easy conclusion that it's because the brain rewards novelty and surprise. Over time, that stability becomes invincible and the safety feels dull. That is, until you don't have it. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things to do is curl up on any given night and put on a movie, cuddle with my multi-poo. Her name's Charlotte. If you've been on TikTok or Instagram, you've met her. And I wish I could cuddle with the rescue horses, Luna and Memphis, but they're on the ranch and I'm unable to cuddle them in bed. But if I could, I would. And just zoning out. I'm such a movie buff. I guess it comes with the territory of being an actress, etc. And one of the movies that I remembered watching was Girl Interrupted. It was a 1998 or 99, I want to say, movie. And it's a really powerful pop culture reference for this episode because it embodies the psychology of confusing chaos with aliveness. One of the themes is emotional instability, craving intensity. There's talk about being in a psychiatric hospital, navigating identity, trauma, and just self-destruction. And it mirrors a lot how many people in relationships chase extreme emotional highs to feel alive. And I mean, trust me, guys, Girl Interrupted isn't about romance, but it is about how people are drawn to chaos because it validates their existence. It's very, very well done. And it starts Angelina Jolie, whom I think was one of the sexiest and still is. I just haven't seen her in anything new. And if you know me at all in terms of the years of interviews and social media, I am stuck in the 90s and 2000s. I couldn't tell you who's in the top 40 of anything today. You walk into my home, you'll see and hear Friends on repeat. As soon as I get to the last episode, I rewind it. The Golden Girls, I Love Lucy, Seinfeld. I'm stuck there. I'm not going anywhere either. I'm good where I'm at. And the symbolism for the emotional addiction and all of that when I was watching the movie stuck out to me enough to want to reference it here because there's a quote that Angelina Jolie's character, Lisa Rowe, she says, "I want excitement and I don't care where I get it." Wait a minute. Let me do that better. "I want excitement and I don't care where I get it." that's better. And that quote definitely encapsulated Jolie's character of her addiction to intensity, just the need for stimulation at any cost. And I think it hits. And I think that line hits with us in this episode because that's what a lot of people are doing in relationships today, you know, chasing that emotional spike instead of emotional safety. And like I mentioned before, where the thrill feels like you're alive, but it's actually just adrenaline in disguise. And of course, I'm sure most of you are like me where you're watching the movie, but you have your phone in your hand and you're scrolling. God forbid we can focus on one thing at a time. And during that movie that I was catching up on during the week, I came across the news recently, always looking things up, Google, etc. And there was an article about how technology and AI are infiltrating dating. Like I mentioned in a previous episode, people are outsourcing their romantic feelings and endeavors to basically writing profiles based on what AI tells them to write. So between the movie and what was in my phone while I was scrolling, I'm like, wait a minute. We definitely have something very consistent here. We are losing. We're definitely on the way of losing emotional connection. If we don't come to terms with what's consistent, with what's present and what's reliable. And if us, between myself who performed in adult films, those who consume adult films, etc., also chase the chaos because they continue to have their dopamines depleted by constant stimulation and having their attention span reduced to a mere 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And on top of that, there's a whole generation of women after me that are not getting clued in as to how damaging chasing the bag is. You know that term? The boss bitch mentality. That boss bitch mentality really does a number on a female. I know because I was there. That your feminine energy is just drained. So between all of this, that's where I was like, we need to talk about it. And now is, what the heck are we going to do about it? What are we going to do, Bridget? Tell me, what are we going to do? I don't mean to leave you on a cliffhanger, but let's just put a pin on that just for a moment. And let's open up one of the DMs sent to the show at Bridget Unfiltered on IG. This Dear Bridget DM that we got recently, always names are retracted for privacy reasons. But if you know that you wrote this, shout out to you. Dear Bridget, so I keep falling for women who disappear for days and come back saying they miss me. Oh. I tell myself she's just busy because there's no reason for her to be lying to me. But it always ends like shit. Always. But the girls are so damn fine, and I already know she's a red flag just from her profile. So let me ask you, how do I break the cycle? I've heard your interviews before, and you've said, sell yourself. You're certifiably nuts. Yeah, he's definitely heard my episodes. Or she. I'm just looking for a good girl, if that's even possible. Thanks for the show. Okay. First off, when I did refer to myself as certifiably nuts, it's because, well, I am. I think I am. And I mean that in the best possible way because the Latin blood is one thing, but the years of being in the industry nearly destroyed any sense of real intimacy that I had. It took me to stop filming and going just after I stopped nearly a year plus of celibacy before I could even think of dating again. And secondly, every time someone ghosts, trust me, they're telling you who they are. It's not the other way around. I used to be the queen of ghosting, but it wasn't because I was a bitch. It was because being held accountable for any of my wrongdoings was just not something I wanted to face. Back then, I called that survival. Today, I call that rude, selfish, and just cruel. Don't waste energy rewriting who they are showing you, babe, because she's showing you that from the jump. And when a red flag is flown from the beginning, I think it's a blessing, because if you're able to discern and you have built-in internal wisdom, one is able to see right through it and avoid that ride around a Ferris wheel after eating a Chipotle burrito. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to get sick and you're going to want to get off the damn Ferris wheel, but you don't because you're stubborn and you get on it. But if you know better, you don't get on it. One thing I've been leaning on is working on my nervous system. Years of being in fight or flight has done a number on me, but as I've learned to settle in my own presence, anytime I come across a guy who expects me to be in a constant push and pull, I've learned to stop chasing. I'm done. I don't chase. I'll tell you what I didn't think I would ever say is that I will not chase you. I didn't think I'd ever say those words, especially after how I've been behaving in the past. Because who am I? What gives me the right to say, well, now these are my boundaries, so now I'm not going to chase, even though I used to? Well, that's what happens when you grow up. So here's our challenge, and I'll take it with you. Next time we realize that the chaos is not chemistry, let's hold on to that value of ours. If they decide to ghost, like I used to, and then they come back, like I, well, never did. I ghosted. I was gone. I never came back. Now their behaviors need to match their words. We're done. We are done accepting the ghosts. We all deserve a love that brings out the best in each other. And I'm not talking about the fantasy fairy tale Disney programmed in all of us. More on that on a future episode, by the way. But about the love that makes us accountable, teaches us to work on ourselves and just become a better human because of it. The world could be a scary place, but it's also beautiful. You wake up in the morning and take that deep breath. Gosh, that sunlight, you know, that the air, the knowing that you woke up in your same bed and in the safety of your home. That is just a blessing in itself. That's just you waking up. So if I'm going to go through my day already and I'm grateful just to be here, and if you're hearing and if you're listening, I hope that this episode and my voice finds you in good health, finds you in stability yourself. But we're all in chaos and the world can be scary, but there's also, like I said, so much beauty. And I'll be damned if in my world that I have surrounding me, I'm going to infiltrate it with nastiness, rudeness, someone who is not appreciative of me because I know the love that I have to offer. And I know you do too. We're not going to be judged because of our extracurricular activities, such as myself when I was in porn. I've learned that being judged by anyone on earth has no value, but what does have value is what I can give back. And here's where I am, because you deserve it. You deserve to not only love yourself, but have someone else love you for you. If today's Dear Bridget hit home, don't keep it to yourself. Go ahead, share this episode with a friend, especially that one, you know, Billy Bob or Jimmy Jane, who's still texting their favorite red flag. You know we all have it. You know we all have that friend in our phone. And if you want more unfiltered advice every week, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you pod. So we went through the why. Now, what can we do about it? Well, this is a part that I'm working on myself daily, especially since my last adult film and going through the celibacy. It's been a journey, and it's not until I've been in it, and especially now that I'm neck deep, that I can come through and share the experience. So what have I been doing? And let's see maybe if this could benefit you guys listening, because I think it fares well for both men and women. So I've been getting into journaling. I've never considered myself a writer, but as a creative, you kind of do it all. Especially, I never realized I could consider myself a writer, because in all aspects of the process of social media, the podcast, YouTube, I do all of it. I do the writing. I do my own setup. I have outside sources doing graphics, etc. But the gist of it all is me. And to take notes, and especially during some of my current studies, I have to do my own writing because I write everything. Nothing is automated. And I think it's a generational thing. Most of us who were 80s, 90s babies, I think, fare the same. Because I always feel, what if I lose my phone? But at least I know my notebook is always in one place. So journaling has really helped me sort out just all the crap in my brain. The voices that are in my head sometimes, not calling myself schizophrenic. I'm not bipolar. And if you are, just know, praying for you, and I hope you're taking your meds. I'm just saying that the voices in my head never stop, okay? And I call that the creative curse. Because if any of you listening can relate, you know that we are up from 3 to 4 a.m. most nights, researching, reading, swiping, taking in pop culture, all the things. And journaling has just been really nice for me to compact all of my thoughts. Another thing that I'm kind of doing and trying is having my non-negotiables. What behavior will I not accept, such as ghosting, disrespect, silent treatment, you name it? Ask yourself, would I choose chaos over real love just because it feels intense? I think that opening that door for yourself and putting that limit, that boundary, is healthy and gives you the perspective of having such a clear and red dotted, signed on the X mark, that if this happens, you're done. You don't go back. And another one is dependent on you, really, but if someone doesn't, you know, believe in it, then it won't do any good for them. But therapy, yeah, therapy, coaching. You could be talking to Mel Robbins, and if you are and it goes in one ear, not the other, this isn't for you. But if you think that you can make a commitment to yourself to listen to someone who can be non-biased and give you a different perspective, I think it's super healthy. If you can make a drive to your session, I could appreciate more meeting someone one-on-one. There's something very special about taking the time to get in your car or walking, going to your therapy session, sitting down, seeing someone in their eye face to face versus doing it online. Because certain chaos and chaotic patterns are deep. And even though I'll talk about it, I'll talk about things all day and share, but I'm just sharing my experiences. I'm never here to give actual trained, learned psyche analysis, because the way the brain is rewired every day by what you consume, by what your thoughts are, that is only something that a good therapist with a backup in science and studies can be beneficial to, can be beneficial to you for your process. So take the time, get some good references. This isn't a time for one to be frugal with either their time or expenses, because this is expensive. Obviously, it's a luxury to be able to have a therapy session. Sure. Going back to my Latin roots, and I'm not pigeonholing or putting this big umbrella on the Latin man, but as reference, what we like to say, macho, el macho, el hombre más macho, ¿verdad? Which is a word that I think most can understand, even if you don't speak Spanish. So if you can think of that type of man, for the most part, that's what a Latin man embodies. Very strong, very leader, very man of the house. They do not take well to therapy. You can tell them until you're blue in the face. They'll be like, nope, I don't think so. And that's where, as a female counterpart, you step back and you say, okay, honey, let's figure something else out. You can't force a person. But if you are in a single process, or if you're just trying to figure yourself out in whatever capacity, macho or not, you don't have to tell anybody. It's a process. Again, something that I've been going through myself in the last 2 years, which is just now in this era of the podcast that I'm sharing with you, is because I've gone through it. And I've gone to therapy and I've seen the difference between going face-to-face and doing online. And that's why I recommend the face-to-face. But again, this is not a time to be frugal. Shop around, date around, and you definitely want to go to someone that you feel comfortable with, that you feel is listening to you. And do you prefer a female? Do you prefer a male? There's so many things. Do you prefer Christian-based? Do you prefer, based on science? There's truly so many pockets, much like everything else in life, that your best bet is to, again, not be frugal. Don't be frugal here. And I mean that with your time and your money, because finding the best source of expertise for you is the most vital for any of it to make sense. And last, but certainly not least, reframing what our romantic story looks like. And I think this one's more geared towards my girls listening. Recognizing that romantic stories in pop culture, like The Notebook, Twilight, Titanic, when that movie comes on in a hotel room, and speaking from traveling so much for shows, I would find myself again, 4 a.m., going through the hotel, movie stuff, and then watching Titanic, crying, because I'm looking around this glamorous hotel room, I'm like the Four Seasons, and I'm by myself, being surrounded by so much, support and love at the clubs, but you find yourself in a room, staring at four walls, and people thinking you're having massive orgies all over the place, when really you're just in your room trying to get some breakfast and watching a movie and crying. So, but I digress. Our reality deserves more peace, respect, and stability than any of that. And our nervous system just can't handle it, girls. And as females, we know what that does. It raises our cortisol, it gives us migraines, and it keeps us out of our feminine energy. So much so that I'll tell you what, if Don Juan was at our door, we would still be ghosting it. Because frankly, we just don't have the bandwidth and the capabilities to handle that much romance until we fix ourselves. You know what I mean? So when you change your internal narrative, you know, that I don't need chaos. I just want truth and I want to feel safe. Then you can start acting differently in this circus called dating. And then you can answer that door and let it walk in and treat you the way you deserve to be treated. Well, that is it for today on Bridget Unfiltered. Remember that chaos could be sexy on screen. Trust me, I know. But it's just exhausting for your soul. Until next episode. Mwah.